This week's episode of John's Joke of the Week is brought to you by Audible.com, the number one source for audiobooks on the internet. And now, the host of John's Joke of the Week, Mr. John Rushing.
Hey everybody, welcome to John's Joke of the Week. My name's John, and this week's joke is, why did a bicycle fall over? Find out after this.
So you're freewheeling on your bicycle, having a great time. I know I love to. It's so freeing. It's almost like flying. And it's way, way less work than running. Trust me. Oh my God. It's way less work. It's a machine that uses your power to move faster. But do you want to just listen to the wind noise when you're just blowing past those joggers 15, 20, 25 miles an hour? Satisfying. That's no doubt. It's almost like holding a shell to your ear, but there's a better way to pass the time. There's a better way to utilize that time where you are a machine, you're powerful, you're creating a better you. Twofold. One, it's bicycle. That's great. But two, exercise your mind, too. And I'm not talking about doing math problems in your head. That's fun, but eventually it gets weird when you get into the long division because you'll lose track of denominators and then you'll slam into a tree. I've got a really easy, tight, simple way for you to not only exercise your mind and body at the same time, but have fun too. Audiobooks. Yeah. Don't read while you're bicycling, by the way. That's not that smart to do. I mean, it looks simple, like you can do it when you're on an exercise bike in the gym. That's fun. But not when you're on an actual bicycle. Exercise. It's when you're exercising with axe. But when you're on a bicycle, a real bicycle, I'm talking 12, 18, 21 speed bikes, you're on the trail, you're on the road, you're off road, you're on the mountain biking, put those earbuds in. And I don't care if you're using the Apple earpods or the over-the-ear ones or the fancy-smancy over-the-ear ones. I don't recommend the over-the-ear ones. But the point is, what you should be listening to is audiobooks. Because you can utilize that exercise time, put information into your brain. And it doesn't have to be a learning thing. Not every moment of your life has to be learning. We're not supercomputers. It can be fun. It can be entertaining. You can become enveloped in a beautiful world of fiction or nonfiction. Historical? Sci-fi? Hard sci-fi? Who knows? It's up to you. You literally have every option in the world if you go through Audible.com. And I just want to give a shout out to Audible.com because they've supported podcasts like this from the very beginning. They don't have to, but they do because they recognize that the same things that you're doing when you're listening to this, you could be listening to an audiobook. And by the way, I thank you for listening to this instead of an audiobook. But I say if you're tired of this or maybe there's not enough episodes or you've just grown tired of listening to our voices, which you never should, and I doubt you will. But if that should just, you want to change your pace, hey, why don't you listen to an audiobook through Audible.com? They have the greatest selection, and the best part is, it's not just some rando reading the words of your favorite book at you. It is award-winning actors. I'm talking Sean Connery. I'm talking Morgan Freeman. I'm talking Ricky Gervais. I'm talking Gerard Depardieu. They're all talking directly into your ears the beautiful prose written by professional authors. Real authors that know how to write books. And they immerse you into the experience. They bring you into the world. You're not just sitting on a bench in Starbucks reading this thing, getting annoyed by the clickety-clack laptops of aspiring screenwriters. You know how much they clickety-clack mechanical keyboards. Don't get me started. But in any case, you can just immerse yourself in the beautiful words of these timeless authors. I'm talking all the way back. We can listen to Plato. The Republic? Are you kidding me? They wish they had audiobooks back then. You can listen to the latest hard sci-fi. a little book called The Martian by Andy Weir, soon to be a major motion picture being released very soon. It's going to be a great film, don't get me started. But beautifully, beautifully read. Any book that you can read, you can listen to on audible.com, and it doesn't just have to be exercising either. It can be my favorite activity, which is driving in a car. I know. What am I, crazy? My favorite activity is sitting in a car? In traffic? Spending an hour plus of my life? Just going stop, go, stop, go, go, stop, go, stop, go, punch. Simpsons joke. But anyway, you get the idea. Commuting used to be the worst part of my day. I hated it. I would arrange my life where I lived, where I worked, to just lessen that commute as little as possible. If I could do a Bob's Burger situation where I lived on top of my workplace, I would have done it. Not now. I wish I lived 3 hours from my workplace. That way I could get 3 hours of audiobook in every day. Right now I'm averaging about 1 hour 10, which is okay. That's a few chapters. You can probably do a book every week, every 2 weeks. And isn't it amazing to have something to talk about other than that dumb TV show or movie that came out? You can say, oh, did you read this? And they'll say, no, I didn't read that. I don't have time to read. What are you talking about? I got my job. I got to drive. I got, when I come home, I got stuff to do. I got to do my chores. I got to do this. You know, no. You can read during all that. You can read during your commute. Frankly, if you got that kind of job, you can read during your work. I got the kind of job where I got a little bit of downtime every now and then. I'm just waiting on people to roll on in. Pop the old earbuds in. Oh, I'm reading. People think I'm listening to Genuine. Sometimes I am. But I'm actually using Audible.com. And I'm gaining vocabulary. I'm gaining experience. I'm expanding my mind. And that's great. And that's something that we should all do. And unfortunately, it would be great if we could all just sit around a candle and read the King James Version of the Bible, or Little Women, or whatever people used to do with their endless free time. That'd be beautiful. Oh, God, I miss those days. Chopping lumber. Kill animals and eat them. Crop farming. Just being the center of a nuclear family. But guess what? It's 2015. Those times don't exist anymore. Everybody's an independent human being, and everybody hates waiting. And frankly, if you waste one iota of your time on this planet, apparently you're a lazy slacker. So here's a way to not be a lazy slacker. While everyone else is listening to the same Nicki Minaj, Taylor Swift combo over and over, the same 8 songs, you can be listening to classical literature, nonfiction, historical books, anything you could possibly want to know about. They even have stand-up comedy, guys. In case you want a little oasis in how serious the day is. You want a little comedy? Boom, right there. You want a little fiction? Boom, right over there. You want a little guilty pleasure? You want a little 50 Shades? Hey, we got that too. Whatever you want or need. That's the beauty of Audible.com. It's not some stuffy book dealer that just takes it away. Like the library, looking at you, just takes your books away after a month. No. They're yours now. They're yours. And you know what's better than the library? You only get a book for free for a month. Here, you put in coupon code RUSHING, free, forever. It's yours, buddy. Take it. You can have it. Listen to The Martian by Andy Weir. Honestly, everyone should. It's a great book. Listen to Moonraker by Ian Fleming. Fantastic book. If you want a little nonfiction, hey, it's a little book called The Machine That Changed the World. It's about the Lexus, the first Lexus that came out, and how much research and the millions of dollars that went to, from turning Toyota into the most common Corolla-producing car company into one of the higher-end companies. It's great. You want a little noir? You want a little pulp fiction? How about Songs of Innocence by Richard Alias? It's all there. Everything's there. Oh, You're a highbrow guy? You like high-end comedy? You want to know how jokes work? How about the Naked Jape? And I did say Jape. J-A-P-E. Jimmy Carr and Lucy Greaves. It's a great book about analysis of jokes and humor. You cannot go wrong. But what I'm saying is, Audible.com has everything you can possibly need and more. It is just the nexus of audiobooks. You don't have to go hunting and pegging through Amazon, through iTunes, through whatever. Oh, they don't have this, they don't have that. Audible.com is up to date on everything you need. And they have it. Pretty much day of. And like I said, if you're going with my recommendations, it's a little bit hard sci-fi. It's a little bit, the part of Apollo 13 where they have to build the air scrubber out of cardboard and catalogs and duct tape, but for an entire book. But I love it. It's hard sci-fi. It's based on reality. It's a little book called The Martian by Andy Grove. Go look that up. In any case, while you're looking it up on Audible.com, please, please support us. Support you. Use coupon code RUSHING. And when you do use that coupon code, it'll be free, your first book. I'm so excited that I'm misspeaking. I honestly love reading, but I don't have enough time. I'm a slow reader. Honestly, I just want to break it down. The reason why I don't read a lot of books is that I'm a slow reader. I read literally at the pace of someone reading it to me. So that's why this is perfect for me. Because if I was a speed reader, sure, maybe I'd read an entire book in an afternoon. But I'm not like that. I used to fall asleep reading textbooks in college. So when I do read a fantastic book, I read it as though someone is narrating it to me. That's why it's so great. Now, essentially, I can be reading while I'm driving, because someone else with, frankly, a much better and accomplished voice is reading it to me, is doing kind of character inflection, so I know the differences between the two. They're kind of hitting, they're pressing down on important moments, so I can stow that in my brain for later chapters and events and acts and plot turns. Things that I wouldn't do for myself. Sometimes I even forget names of characters. I'm a flawed guy, but one thing that I know is not flawed is Audible.com. There's nothing wrong with this service. They provide beautiful, perfectly. I know everybody's listening to this in their car, but if you listen to your earphones, your headphones, it's perfect. Audio is clean, crisp. You can hear every syllable. You can hear the intonation, the emotion in their voice. It's a great way. Frankly, it's almost a little more immersive than a book, because in a book you can imagine anything, but now it's like someone is describing it. Someone with the talents of an actor or a voice actor is creating a scene for you. They're creating the correct scene for you in that they're building towards something. I'm not just floating around in a book pretending that I know what's going on, and then boom, the third act hits. Why does that guy sound like that? That's not him. No, that was him. You just didn't get the character right. This gets everything right. And frankly, it's free with coupon code RUSHING. There's nothing that can go wrong here. It's not like Jurassic Park. Everything's going to go great for you. I promise. All you have to do, literally, this is all you have to do, is go to audible.com, sign in, register, what have you, if you aren't already a member. Use coupon code RUSHING. Pick out your favorite book, and literally it's any book. This isn't a one-time thing where it's going to be the Federalist Papers, which is only like 36 pages. That's your free book. No, any audiobook. It could be Dune, which I'm pretty sure is 1,000 hours. And it's free for you. So just go to audible.com, register, use coupon code RUSHING, and you will get one free audiobook, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed. And now for the conclusion of John's Joke of the Week, here's Mr. John Rushing.
Welcome back to John's Joke of the Week. I asked, why did the bicycle fall over? That's because... it was too tired. John Rushing.
John's Joke of the Week is hosted by John Rushing, produced by Jeff Gill, and announced by me, Chris Killian. If you'd like to show your support of the podcast, be sure to leave a comment and a rating on iTunes, like our Facebook page, or visit our sponsor. This week's episode was brought to you by Audible.com. Use coupon code RUSHING to receive a free audiobook. I'm tired of being jerked around by my parents, and I'm serious. They've lied to me a lot, but I will tell you exactly where the keystone lie is. In the arch of my childhood, and I want you to imagine an arch in your minds, okay? Do you know what the keystone is? That's the one at the top. That's the one holding the whole thing together. It's this one thing. They told me when I was young, I remember specifically, I heard the phrase, hoisted by your own petard. And I thought that sounded pretty serious. Hoisted by your own petard? Hoisted. Which, in my mind, is an upward movement. Like hoist. Like you hoist weight by your own petard, which sounds French and, frankly, pretty serious. So you're hoisted by your own petard, and it was in context, which means, like, you were damaged by something that you did. Like, what is, it's like a suicide almost. Like, it's not a suicide, but you died by your own hand. And I said, hoisted by your own petard? Mommy, mommy, what is hoisted by your own petard? And she said, it means falling on your own sword. And I thought, okay, I can get on board with that. Like, and keep in mind, I'm a dumb kid. Still pretty dumb. Still kind of a kid. But hoisted by your own petard. So what I imagine that being is that you're holding a sword, and not like a katana or a Japanese sword. This is like a medieval kind of Gallic or maybe Anglican sword. Big, big, long sword. And you're holding it as far away as your arm can go, or maybe you planted it in the ground. Maybe I drew a conclusion between falling on your own sword. This is what happened. So, I drew a conclusion between falling on your own sword and hoisted by your own petard. Because I said, Mom, what is hoisted by your own petard? And she said, it means falling on your own sword, which is understandable. It means that you have become your own undoing. That's fine. That's exactly what it means. Hoisted by your own petard means that your own machinations have become your undoing or death, which is great. Only that's not what it means. What hoisted by your own petard means is blown up by your own bomb. Petard means bomb. It's a crude form of a grenade from around the Renaissance Enlightenment era when people didn't really understand how gunpowder worked. So they made these really crude sack bombs, and they had fuses out of them, and fuses were pretty crude too, so nobody really knew how much time you had. So hoisted in this term makes a lot of sense because we hoist weight, which means we lift up. So you were hoisted, meaning lifted up, by your own petard, meaning bomb. So you had a bomb, and it was blowing you up. So hoisted by your own petard means blown up by your own bomb. That's not hard to grasp. But why was I lied to? Is it because of ignorance? Almost certainly. Absolutely. Why would you take the time to explain how complicated the French terminology of hoisted by your own petard is to a child? That's a waste of breath. Absolutely. 100%. And yet, it had a huge effect on me. Why? Did I know at the time that it was bullshit? Of course I didn't. I was like 8. If you told me that hoisted by my own petard meant that somebody took a desk chair and hit you over the head with it, I would believe it. If somebody told me that hoisted by your own petard meant somebody took a giant cane, a sugar cane, and rammed it into your ear, I would say, of course. If someone told me 2 + 2 = chair, I probably would have believed it. I was 8. I didn't know anything. But what comes later is always the problem. Because you will use that phrase, and people will call you on it. Because I use the phrase, oh, you've been hoisted by your own petard, when someone literally fell on their own pole. Like, they were holding a pole, and they fell on it. It didn't, you know, go through them. But I said, you've been hoisted by your own petard. They said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, you have the pole there. It didn't penetrate you, but, you know, you were hoisted by it. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you've been hoisted, meaning lifted up, by your own petard, meaning sword. And he said, do you think that petard means sword? And I said, of course it does, because hoisted by your own petard means stabbed by your own sword. And he said, you are a fucking petard. Because petard doesn't mean sword, it means bomb. And that kind of damage is irrevocable. When you are so, when knowledge that has been cemented in your mind from childhood is demolished 10 years later, it's like a bomb goes off and all you can hear is that ringing sound. Like, you don't know what's up, you don't know what's down, you don't know what's left and right. Your world has been shaken forever, and it will never be the same. All because one person lied to you because you're dumb. That is the worst moment of your life. Because you can't blame your parents for lying to you. God forbid. I mean, it's basically their job. You're a big idiot. Their job is to dumb down the world into wooden blocks and action figures. And then, unbeknownst to them, 10 or 11 years later, a somewhat functional human being just acted like a goddamn idiot. Are they to blame? Kinda. But are you to blame? Kinda. I mean, is it your job to fact-check your parents? No. Because that would be a ton of work, and frankly, that would undermine their jobs. Their job is to teach you right and wrong, up and down. So, what am I supposed to do? Fact-check every goddamn thing my parents tell me? No. Apparently, I'm just supposed to take everything they say as gospel until I go out in the world and make a complete ass out of myself. Then walk back to them holding what's left of my dignity, and then they kind of give me a chuckle, like, yeah, sorry. It's pretty funny, though. We told you a petard is a sword, and then that killed you. That kid killed you with the insult. You're a fucking petard. That was pretty funny. And I can't deny that. And I say, yeah, that's pretty funny, I guess. I mean, I felt like a petard. I mean, what can you say? I was hoisted on my own petard there. They gave me a petard. And I hoisted myself on it. But I grew. So that's not the worst thing that's ever happened, I guess. I mean, instead of being eviscerated by some kind of crude grenade, I guess I kind of have built that into who I am, you know, double-checking everything, triple-checking everything, always being right about everything, researching deeply French idioms and turns of phrase, just so that I will never, ever be hoisted on my own petard. But I'd rather you not be hoisted on your own petard, frankly. If I could ever help you in any sort of way. If I could hoist myself on your petard, I think that's what this is about. Here's something. Guess what, guys in relationships, you're wrong. I'm sorry. You're just gonna have to get okay with it. You're gonna be wrong always, 100% of the time, but that's okay. Just pretty much accept it. No argument is worth winning. Pretty much ever. The consequences are just too deep. You've got to hoist yourself on that petard and just take the heat from it, because it's not worth it, basically. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I could create a graduate level thesis on why I'm correct, but what is my being right worth? I'm happy. Is anyone else happy? Is the universe better? Has anything wrong been corrected? Have I created positive change in the universe? No. No, I haven't. It's just me sitting on a throne of loose leaf papers that say, I'm right. I'm hoisted on my own petard, and it's bound to explode. So instead, just know you're right, but kind of move forward. And if eventually they figure out that you're right, great. But if they don't, well, tough. That's the world. You have to hoist yourself onto other people's petards. Start with small petards. Start with the little ones. Do you think I'm fat? Do you love me? Do you see this going somewhere? Do you think you're smarter than me? Tiny little petards, easy ones. Jump on them. Let them blow up on you. Then you move on to the medium petards. Is this going anywhere? Where do you see yourself? Are you creating a career? Do you want a family? Medium petards, you throw yourself on them. Then the big petards. Ooh, it's getting scary. These ones are approximately the size of Volkswagens. Not Volkswagens. That'd be weird. VWs. VW bugs. So imagine a human soldier, 5'8", 180 pounds, throwing himself, Captain America style, the first one, onto this petard, the size of a VW bug. Do you see this going anywhere? When are you going to ask me to marry you? What do I mean to you? Throw it on. Just throw yourself into it. Don't be scared. Just eject, like as though you're being catapulted onto this petard. Just jump onto it. Cover it with everything that you are, and just wait for it to explode. Of course I am. You're everything to me. I love you and I'll never stop loving you. So once you're done hoisting yourself and you get down off that petard, I know what's going to make you feel a whole lot better. Get a free audiobook by typing in keyword rushing over at audible.com.